Today on Real Life Radio.
When Jesus was on the cross in Matthew chapter 27, it says that Jesus prayed, crying out with a loud voice and dismissed his spirit. And then in the temple, the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom was torn in half. Whenever we pray, access is granted. Whenever we pray, we can enter in. Whenever we pray, the heavens are opened.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled God's Pattern for Success. One of the four Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, gives us important details and key events that surround the birth of Christ and his purpose here on this earth. Now, as we previously learned, John the Baptist baptized a whole bunch of people there at the bank of the Jordan River. So when Jesus came up to be baptized, it sort of confused John. But Jesus, by his actions, identified himself with the people, combining the things of heaven with the things of earth. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God's pattern for success is to connect with the power of heaven through prayer. Jesus gave us an example of prayer by praying freely, publicly, and passionately. Coming to God in prayer has the power to move heaven. Now in his message called God's Pattern for Success, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not maybe, they will. These on the bank of the Jordan are hungering and thirsting. And what happens in their eyes? They see Jesus coming. And by Jesus' actions, he would be saying to them, I am identifying with you. And it's a beautiful thing to keep in mind. Not only is this identification in a wonderful spiritual context, but the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 verse 2 says that concerning Jesus, the Messiah to come, Christ, that there is no outwardly physically beautiful form whereby we should desire him. You say, well, what's so good about that? Oh, that's good news. Isaiah says that Jesus is not someone who is physically beautiful above anybody else. He's common. Now, for those of us who are common, we appreciate that. The prophets told us that Jesus looked like everybody else. You know, it's funny. Oh, look, there's pictures of Jesus. Look, there's a picture of Jesus. How do we know that's a picture of Jesus? There's only one way to know. This is a little halo that's painted over his head. I've been to the Vatican. I walked through to see the paintings. Every picture is the same picture. It doesn't matter. I mean, different people. But it's the same, every one of the guys and gals, they're walking, they're all like this. And they have a halo over their head. Outside of that, they would look very common. When Jesus showed up on the scene, John didn't even recognize who he was until Jesus was right in the middle of John's face. Commonality. I love the fact that he's not some super, super human. Jesus Christ came 100% God and 100% man. It's called incarnation. God becoming flesh, without sin, but God becoming flesh nonetheless. And it's a tremendous thing to keep in mind. So as we look at this, we look at the second point found in verse 21, and God's pattern for success is connecting with the power of heaven. Not only identifying, but connecting with the power of heaven. Verse 21, while he prayed, the heaven was opened. This word heaven is the word that we use atmosphere. It means that those who were, church, listen, it means that those that were present saw this thing happen. It doesn't mean that something happened in the spiritual heaven where God's presence is at and nowhere else. This is radically supernatural. Whatever happened, it connected. There was a port open from the general atmospheric conditions of where John and all the people lived, there was a portal opened from that place directly to the presence of God. And people saw it. This has never happened before like this. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine you're crying and you're all wet? Wow. You would have been completely, I think the good word's flabbergasted. You would have been overwhelmed. by what's going on. While Jesus is praying, I think that's significant. Church, I want to argue with you this morning that when we pray, heaven's opened. When we are not praying, it suggests heaven's not open. Why do you think? You say, I don't know about that. Well, how about this? The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Why? Keep heaven open. Always pray. Listen, do we pray enough? I'm tempted to ask, do we pray at all? Oh, yes, Pastor, 3 times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But do we pray? Jesus, note this, the pattern for success, Jesus is praying in obedience to the command of God's ministry to John. Jesus obeys, enters into identification with us. That's amazing. Number two, Jesus comes out of the water and he's praying. And by the way, the word in the Greek to pray means that he is praying in the present tense, a powerful, passionate, fervent prayer like no one was around kind of prayer. Jesus came up out of the water and he begins to pray and he's praying like nobody's around. He's not ashamed. It's natural for him. You say, well, yeah, he's God. No, my friend, Jesus had to learn just like you and I are learning now. Even though he were God in human flesh, the word kenosis in Greek, he laid aside tremendous things that he could have picked up at any moment, but he chose not to. That's the definition of his meekness, by the way. He could have picked up the power and the knowledge at any second, but there are things that he selectively picked up. Kenosis is that he laid aside right alongside, just like if it was on this stand right here. I take certain attributes. I take my wallet. I've got the power to buy something. I hope I do in here, and I would put it right here, and I can't buy anything. I'm dependent upon you to help me, but at any moment, I could grab this wallet and buy something. Are you with me? Jesus could have done that at any moment. He told Peter, don't you know that I have the power to call down legions of angels? But he didn't. So Jesus grew in the grace and in the knowledge and grew in favor both with God and man, says the Bible. So here he is, and he's praying, and he's praying fervently. He's praying passionately. The word also means he's praying urgently. Imagine God the Son felt and believed that there was a great, great benefit to praying and that he needed to pray. If the Son of God needed to pray, how much more do I need to pray? But Jesus prayed openly. 3 things happened when he prayed. The heavens were opened. I could go for that. The Holy Spirit came down. Ooh, I would really like that. And the Father spoke. Yeah. Hey, you know many times in the Bible when God speaks to those that are standing round about, it sounds like thunder. It's recorded in Scripture. When God spoke, all they heard was thunder. But listen, God speaks. In the hearing of all the people, they saw this happen. Connecting with the power of heaven comes only one way, my friend, and that's through prayer. By the way, this word that heaven opened, the word open means that the sky, the atmosphere, both celestial and terrestrial atmosphere was rent. The word means pulled apart. Listen, something happens when we pray, and it's not the only time here when Jesus prayed. I think you kind of know where I'm going. Can you think of another time when Jesus prayed and there was a rending of a curtain or the rending of the sky, so to speak? When Jesus was on the cross in Matthew chapter 27, it says that Jesus prayed, crying out with a loud voice and dismissed his spirit. And then in the temple, the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom was torn in half. Whenever we pray, access is granted. Whenever we pray, we can enter in. Whenever we pray, the heavens are opened. That's why many times in our own lives as Christians, we feel like the heavens are made of brass and we're not getting through. We need to pray and pray hard. Will you agree with me that prayer is hard? Prayer is difficult. We give up so easily. Daniel prayed 21 days and he fasted and he almost quit. But on the 21st day, the angel came. Pray. And I thought about this. The lesson Jesus shows us is to pray and to keep praying. The Bible tells us pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us pray and then pray again. But the amazing thing is, when we pray, things happen, things change. And as I think about prayer, we have prayer meetings here at this church. One of the old Puritans wrote, you can always tell how popular a church or a pastor is by those who come out on Sunday. But you can always tell how popular Jesus is in that church by people coming out to the prayer meeting. How popular is the pastor in the community, or how popular is that church? Well, you just look at the crowd on Sunday morning. But then call a prayer meeting. How many of you would have come today if I would have said last week, we're going to come on Sunday and only pray? I tell you what, I'm going to do that some Sunday. Just so I'll get depressed. But I would pray that the place would be packed out. Hey, we're going to pray. Come on. Do we even believe in prayer anymore? Do we really? When something happens, do we call our friends first? Something happened to you today? Did something happen to you this week? What did you do first? Did you call people or did you go to God? We don't believe in prayer. We panic. And then if we do pray, oh, is it really that bad that Jack is now praying? What happened? We should pray before something happens. We should live praying. Spurgeon says the prayer meetings are the lung of the church. We need to be praying. And I thought about this regarding prayer. What happens when we pray? When we pray, we begin to see the situation from heaven's perspective. When I pray, I see it from God's vantage point. When I pray, church, would you agree with this? We get all panicky and freaky, and then the moment we start praying, our heart rate, did you know doctors know this as a fact now? Did you know this? It's a medical fact. Our heart rates begin to slow down, and our blood pressure begins to be affected when we meditate and pray upon God's word and pray to the Lord. That's a medical fact. Not only that, when we pray, we draw closer to the source of our answer. Oh, God, answer me! That's a good prayer. Peter prayed one of the best prayers ever. He was walking on the sea. Remember, his Bible says he takes his eyes off of Jesus. He looks at a wave coming and he says, Lord, help! Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Let me help you. Are you ready? Lord, help! That's a biblical prayer. By the way, the Bible says when you come and pray, keep your words short. You know that? It's not how long you pray. In fact, how long you pray often tells us that you're not spending time with God alone. You got to come to a prayer meeting and take up all the time. Be direct. You know, we're so funny. Lord, I pray that you'd help me because I don't love Susie as I ought to. The Lord knows exactly how you feel about Susie. But you're, Lord, I need more love for Susie. You need to say, God, I can't stand her. I need you to forgive me. It's sin. Change my heart. Amen. He knows the truth. We need to be coming after God with a tenacity. When's the last time you heard that word? Tenacity. Tenacity. Tenacious. That sounds gnarly. Tenacious. It kind of like makes you back up. What is that? Tenacious. We need to come after God, hungering and thirsting for him. Grabbing onto him in prayer. You say, Jack, that's very fanatical. Yeah, it is. Yes, we need to become fanatical. But that's not politically correct to say today. Yeah, I know. You know what? I would to God that I would become more fanatical for God. I would to God that more churches, that all of us would become more fanatical about God. You want to know why? The world needs to see somebody fanatical for God. You want to know why? If the world sees us fanatical toward God, biblically fanatical, you know what that means? That means the divorce rate in the Christian church will plummet if we're fanatical for God. If we're fanatical for God, it means that our children are going to be loved more than things. If we get fanatical, biblically so, for God, you know what? We'll tell the government, stay out of the welfare program. We'll take it from here. Go spend your money on other stuff. The church is going to rise up in America and start feeding the homeless. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We'll take care of the homeless. The churches would start buying homes and putting homeless people and getting them jobs. It's terrible. The government has had to step in because the church has stepped out. Would to God we'd be more fanatical to love one another. Amazing. So yes, it's fanatical. I need to be more fanatical. To pray more, to pray for you, to be prayed for. We need to become more fanatical. Imagine if we became fanatical biblically, how much this nation crime would go down. Because you know what? It wouldn't mean that there'd be no criminals. It'd mean that we'd be praying for the safety of our cities. Can you imagine? God will not refuse his people. Imagine if you who raised your hands went back to your towns, went back to your places, generated a prayer meeting to pray for the leaders of your community and for violence in your community. Do you think God would refuse you? We don't do it because we don't believe in it. We just talk about it. We need to pray. What's lacking in this church? A lot. How do we meet the need? We pray. We pray. Church, make it a point. Develop starting today. If you don't have a prayer life, you need to start one. To not start one, in my opinion, is to deny the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, God could get our attention in a moment. Wouldn't it be amazing? Say, Pastor, lighten up, will you? Okay, I'll lighten up right now. How's this? What if God wanted to hear from us? He might say, you know, Becky, I haven't heard you pray to me in a long time. Or, you know, Johnny or Susie or Fred or Barney or Wilma or Betty, for that matter, haven't heard from you for a long time. You know, listen, don't raise your hand. Don't say anything. Just think it. When was the last time you really talked with God? What if God said, hey, I haven't heard from you for a while? You go, yeah, I know. Well, I'm not only going to want to hear from you right now, I'm going to want to hear from all of you right now. And he sends a 10.0 earthquake right now. I said, Pastor, don't. Would he have your attention? Could God decide to do that right now and be justified in doing it? And he might shake the ground just to say, oh, listen to all you crying out to me. Oh, it's great to hear from you, Jack. I was missing you. It's so good to hear all of your voices at Calvary. Why? What a huge prayer meeting. He could do it like that. In fact, listen, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. So we will not fear, even if earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea, let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. That's a verse in the Bible. God could say, I want to hear from you. And so take, you know, Gabriel, come in, Gabriel. Send Southern California 10.0. He could do it. That'd be drastic, but it'd be effective. You got to admit, it would be effective. Third thing we want to see God's pattern for success, verse 22, is obeying the voice from heaven. Obeying the voice from heaven, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove. Can you take out your pen and circle the word like a dove? You know what we know? Good Bible students. What does it mean? Did a dove land on Jesus' shoulder? No. In fact, we know one thing for sure. It was anything but a dove. How do we know? Because it was like a dove. The Holy Spirit came down, and just like a bird or a dove would land upon the shoulder of someone. By the way, the dove is the most docile bird in the bird world, and faithful and loyal. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and enveloped him. An amazing moment. As, remember, all this happens as he prays. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. Obeying the voice from heaven is very, very key. All of those present would have heard this happen. We know this from the Greek wording that's used here. They all would have seen Jesus. They all would have heard this amazing moment. Why? Because the Trinity, my friend, is here celebrated incarnate. Will you mark it down? Look at it. Verse 22 is a very powerful verse. This is the Trinity. And I bring it up to you because I need to, because many cults will avoid this verse. They can't avoid it. The Son, already in Luke's gospel, the first three chapters, have already told us that he's the Son of God. We already know that he's eternal. We already know that he's come from heaven to earth. We already know that. That's the Son of God. Number two, God the Father is God the Father. Number three, the Holy Spirit descends, and it is a person, not an it. He is a person. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can be made angry. The Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel concerning the children of Israel, they angered God for 40 years in the wilderness. The Bible says that the Spirit of God came and turned on them, and he became their enemy. The Holy Spirit is a person. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. Well, Pastor, can you explain it? I can't explain it. Nobody can. And I thank God that we cannot correctly explain this attribute of our God. But the Lord God is one, says the Bible. But he manifests himself in three persons. The best I can do is if there's three of you with the same last name that live under the same roof. You have one roof, one address, one last name, but three of you are individual personalities. Each of you have access to that address. Each of you are co-equal legally. But listen, you're different in personality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is represented here before us. And so there's this tremendous call to obeying the voice from heaven that is laid upon us as we study the Bible. And he says in verse 22, you are my beloved son, in you I'm well pleased. And church, listen to this. This is a quote taken out of the Messianic scriptures of the Old Testament, Psalm 2. It's Psalm chapter 2 that makes reference, verse 7, that the Lord said unto me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. That's a reference to Christ. The word means this. Today, you'll become my son. Today, I will glorify you. It's an announcement given by God the Father to God the Son that Christ would go forth as Savior. When God says here in the scripture that he was pleased with Jesus Christ, what is he pleased about? He's pleased with the offering of Christ. That what Jesus offers is redemption for mankind. Now, get this. This was lived out in typology with Abraham and Isaac. The Bible tells us that Abraham was visited by God, and God tells Abraham, go take your son, your only son, and take him to a mountain I will show you. And then, anybody remember? Abraham took two servants with him and Isaac, and they rode for how many days? 3 days. Significant. 3 days. In Abraham's mind, how long was Isaac offered up as a sacrifice? 3 days in his head. They get to the base of a mountain, and Abraham says to the two servants, you stay here. My son and I will go and worship on yonder mountain, and then we will come back again to you. That's a very faithful statement to say, because Abraham knew that his son was going to go to the sacrifice. Isaac is carrying the wood. They go to Mount Moriah, and there Isaac's his father. Here's the wood that, by the way, the son carried on his back. Here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, son, God's going to provide himself a lamb as a sacrifice. Well, where did that come from? Abraham didn't even have a lamb. He was speaking prophetically. And so the Bible says that Abraham took Isaac, who's 30 years old, and lays him down on the altar of wood. Now look, a 30-year-old guy could beat up a 100-year-old guy easy. The Bible there in Genesis says that they went in agreement. Isaac lay down, trusting that the God of his father Abraham would raise him from the dead if need be.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called God's Pattern for Success. Thanks for being with us today. You know, God's Pattern for Success is just part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, if you feel like end times prophecy is too challenging or impossible to piece together, we have a remarkable resource for you. Pastor Jack's book of the month is called Understanding End Times Prophecy by Paul N. Benware. Why even study Bible prophecy? Does it matter today? What happens in the future? Benware shows us that the person who knows prophetic truths and orders their life according to these truths will live a better life right now. The study of Bible prophecy reminds us that God is good and motivates us toward rightful living today while giving us hope for tomorrow.
Jesus said it himself, these things I have told you in advance, that when they happen, you will know that I am the eternal self-containing God.
So get your copy and one for your friends on one of the finest works of its kind on the subject. Understanding End Times Prophecy by Paul N. Benware is yours for a gift of any amount. And it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.